So far, we seem to be off to a pretty good start for a first service of the new year, right? First Sunday of the new year. I hope everybody come in excited and ready to worship and praise the Almighty God. Got some of the Word of God to share with you. We got high hopes and hope for great things during the upcoming year. You know, I loved what Jake said about the chess game, that when that game's over, that's over, you know. And I thought about, you know, last year's past. And if you've carried anything over, such as grudges or hardships or any of that, just put them out, you know. It's that simple. You know, a new game started, a new time in the Lord, a new opportunity that we have to go out and witness to the lost and dying world. Let's look at a few verses of Scripture today, and we'll move on with service. Got a lot of things going on today. We've got a funeral taking place at 2 o'clock, and a baby shower at 2 o'clock, and then a luncheon for the Stevens family after that. And it sounds like we got a pretty good day, you know, just booked up and going on. We need to be a busy people. You know, we really do. You know, that got David in trouble that time. He wasn't busy and got looking over in the wrong direction and got in all kind of trouble, you know. So we need to be a busy people. Let's look at Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to start in verse 1. Let's talk some about the old year past, and let's talk about the new year beginning. You know, an exciting time. We got some several things going to be taking place and happening in our church through the next few weeks or the next month. There's going to be some things changed, and I think probably or hopefully for the better that we can move forward for the cause of Christ. I've got a desire to see souls saved. You know, that ought to be our desire when we come in the house of God. First of all, to praise and worship Him, and then through that, He blesses us and we see souls saved. I mean rewards and benefits for our labor that we do with Him. And we want to get started, you know, and focused on the cross and preaching Jesus every time we have an opportunity, because that's what makes a difference with people. In St. Matthew chapter 16, verse 1, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired Him that He would show them a sign from heaven. Now, this is desiring Him. That's talking about Jesus, you know. They've approached Him, and they're tempting Him and said to show them a sign from heaven. And He answered and said unto them, when it's evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, can ye not discern the face of the, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the time. Now, when we get down to this point, I want you to know, He said, you're smart enough and you're intelligent enough to look at the sky and know kindly what kind of weather you're going to have. You know, you can look and say, okay, it's this way in the morning and it's going to be a good day. Or if you can look at the sky's red and lower, you're going to say it's going to be foul weather and a bad day. And He said, you're smart enough in your understanding and worldly wisdom to know and understand about signs of the sky and signs of the weather. He said, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. Now, I believe that's where we're at in this day and time also. Things hadn't changed from that day right down to this day, that people are still too ignorant to know about the signs of the time, that the Lord Jesus is coming back, and we need to start getting prepared. You know, we look around, and of course, we've got a weather channel we look on, but you can still look at the sky, and you can talk to people all over this country, all over this community, and all over this county, and they'll tell you about the weather, but they can't tell you about the things of God. They can't discern the signs of the time. You know, God gives us warning that there's going to be a great falling away. We're right in the middle of it. You know, it started. Everything's more important than church today. I'd like to see the church gain its power back to the position where God wanted it to be, that on church day, everybody else would have to suck wind. If they set something on Sunday, nobody would show up because it's church day. Oh, they're going to have a ball game today. Nobody shows up because it's church day. That's what God intended for His church to be, the power of the earth, that we represent Him. And we talk about the times and the signs of the time. People don't comprehend and understand anymore. They see everything. I mean, they have a vision of things of the world. They are influenced by the powers of ungodliness all around them. They don't understand. This thing's coming down to a close, and we need to be getting ready. I'm telling you, we need to prepare ourselves. We need to prepare our churches in that we're ready to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying world. New day. A new time. They can't discern. They can't see the need. So what are we going to do about it? Need we tell them, don't we? And the first thing we need to focus on in a new year, starting out in this church, is about who Jesus truly is. You know, I've heard a lot of people say, yeah, he was a good guy. He did a lot of miracles. He was this. He was that. But I'm going to tell you, he's the Son of God. He's the Savior of the world, and we need to be preaching that to the top of our lungs, shouting it to a lost and dying world. Let me tell you about Jesus and who he is. That should be the major focus of this church, that word of God is spread throughout the community. Over in Matthew 16 and verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi and asked his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So he asked the question. He said, who are they saying that I am? And I want us to think about this. Do you truly know who Jesus is? If you're saved, you do. And he comes down, and they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Now, they had an opinion. This is what the people are saying, not the disciples, not the chosen of God, but the people, the world was saying, well, he's this, or he's that, or he's somebody else. They didn't truly know. They wasn't sure who Jesus was, and without that knowledge and understanding, Jesus, the Son of God, they can't be saved. We're in a community just like that right now. If they truly knew who Jesus was, they'd worship him. If they truly knew who Jesus was, they'd receive him. And so we need to start getting this word out. You know, they were in a situation, they said, well, we don't know who Jesus is. Some said he was John the Baptist, some Elias, other Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Now, I'm going to tell you, that don't bring us to the point of salvation, not understanding. So, focus in the church, New Salem Baptist Church this year, is to know who Jesus is and teach and preach him, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, shed his blood on the cross of Calvary that we may have forgiveness of sins. When he got the answer about the world, then he turned and he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? You know, I thought about that a lot. They'd walk with him. They'd talk with him. They'd ate with him. They'd spent all this 3.5 years with him. He had a special calling from Almighty God through Jesus Christ. Specially called to follow him. And then he turned and said, who do you say that I am? You know, I think sometimes we need to ask in the church, who do you say Jesus is? You know, I can look out and I can take for granted that most of you know who Jesus is, what Jesus is about. You know about God's plan for salvation, but I'm not sure. I can't bet my life on what you believed or what you hadn't believed. And so when he asked the disciples, he said, whom say ye that I am? The answer in verse 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, that's the answer we've got to have at New Salem. There's nothing less than that answer that we can have at New Salem about Jesus. That we've got to have our feet on solid rock, on solid ground, and we're founded in the Word of God, and we know him. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That makes the difference in our church. We're talking about advancing for the cause of Christ. We got to know it first. Hard to teach somebody something you don't know yourself. And it's hard to convince them to believe something you don't believe yourself. And so that's where we've got to come from. That we know and we believe. And through that, we go out and share that with the world. And verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bojarnum, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. In other words, it wasn't because somebody told him, but the Spirit of God revealed. That's where we've got to be. That Spirit of God revealing us. You don't have to believe me. I'm not asking you to believe me. You don't have to believe anybody else. I'm asking you to believe the Holy Spirit of God that comes in and anoints us and gives us understanding about who Jesus really is. A lot of descriptions. Best friend I ever had. Only friend I'll ever have for an eternity. You think about these things. In verse 18, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, I'm telling you, God just said the church has power. I'm ready to reclaim some of the power that God gives to the church. I'm tired of being an outcast in the community. I'm tired of people disrespecting us in the community. They're going to respect because God says He gives us that power and understanding that we come together, we go out as a body of Christ, and it talks about the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We've got an opportunity and an opening to share this gospel with the lost and dying world that hell might not be dominant in our neighborhood, in our country. It said, "And I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Power to the church, no other people. The government can't do it. Your family can't do it. Your workplace can't do it because He gave the keys to the church. We've got the keys. This is what God has blessed us with. It's about time we stood up and say, "Let me tell you, the church is here, the church is to stay, and the church is coming more powerful." I know we read about the falling away. Y'all can read about it over in Thessalonians. It talks about there's going to come a falling away first before the man of sin shall be revealed. I'm going to tell you, I'm not participating. I'm not going to take part in it. They can fall away all they want to, but I don't have to. And you, as children of God, don't have to. They start telling, "Oh, it's going to happen. You can't avoid it." No, I can't avoid the falling away because God says it's going to happen, but I don't have to be part of it. And you don't have to be part of it. Every time you ditch church, let me be real plain. Every time you ditch church for some event in the community or some event in your family, you took part in falling away. Is that too tough? This is important, and if it's not, I don't want no part of it. If this is not God's plan for us to meet, brothers and sisters in Christ, that we gain strength, that we come knowledgeable in the Word, that we go out and share with the lost and dying world, I don't want no part of it. That's just the way it has to be. Pretty tough preaching. But, you know, we're warned of this falling away. We're told about the power of God. And, you know, then we let, now I know there's certain circumstances that would warrant or be justified, but there's so many excuses. There's so many excuses. I started not to come today. Joan's hair was a little bit frizzy. I started to lay out. Then when y'all sat back there and looked up this way, you thought, bad of me, right? I have to face y'all every time. And sometimes it breaks my heart. There's sometimes I just want to throw my hands up and say, I quit. I give up. But then God encourages, and God works, and God deals, and God promotes, and God uplifts. And you learn to dwell on the positive things. You learn to dwell on not the negative, but the positive things in life. The ones that are here. The ones that do support. The ones that are out in the community trying to see souls saved. In Acts chapter 2. I've got a great vision for this church for this year. To accomplish that, it can't only be my vision, but it's got to be your vision also that you want. Can't do it by myself. There's not anybody here can do it by themselves. But as a combined effort and a group, I think we can accomplish. The vision I want for this church is that we make a difference in the community, that we see souls saved, that we see lives rededicated. We see your family, my family, willing to do the work of God. That's the vision for this church that I have for a new year. I've prayed about this. God, let me have a new vision. Let me have a new vision. Restore it. That I see what it might be, but there's going to have to be things happen that we achieve these things. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now, we're going to read about some amazing things that are that happened in the book of Acts and how things changed and things were different. I'm telling you, they were in a transition period. They were coming from the law of Moses given by God unto the age of grace because Jesus Christ had been crucified on the cross of Calvary. There was a transition time, a transition period taking place, and it just blessed my heart when I read and said they were one accord in one place. And I thought, praise God, they came together, and although there's a transition, although there's change taking place, they're all in it. They're all for it. They're all a part of it. And so when I thought about the vision for New Salem Baptist Church and souls saved and difference in the community, I thought, well, maybe God could bring us to one accord in one place. That we all had our minds set that we want to see the church successful. That we want to see the church excel. Not be just a normal, not be just an ordinary. You can go to normal, ordinary churches anywhere you want to go. You can find one of those pretty easy. I'm wanting us to be an exceptional church. I'm wanting us to be the one when they come in the back door, they don't not only feel love, but they feel the Spirit and power of God and know that we're in the direction and focus of souls being saved. They came up, one heart, one accord. I've been to a lot of usual meetings and normal meetings and a lot of those churches. And that's not where I want us to be. I want us to be excelling in the point that we're ready to stand up. And it takes one accord in one place. It takes togetherness. It takes a common goal. In verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. So we're talking about a different kind of atmosphere. It talks about this mighty rushing wind. It's the power of God coming in. That's what it was. It was the power of God coming in. They could see the effect of it all through the house. Now, that was a special place. I'd love to have been in that meeting, wouldn't y'all? Sound of the mighty wind rushing. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And I thought, what a blessing. God wrote this down so that we can read it and understand. When they went out and started to share their testimony and the gospel of Jesus Christ, they could talk to anybody. I want you to notice, they spoke in their own language, but God changed it and everybody heard it in their own language, in their own tongue, their own dialect. And I got thinking, there's no limitation for us to go out and share the gospel of Jesus Christ because we can talk to anybody and everybody. I don't care what language they are. I don't care what dialect they have. I don't care what frame of mind they're in. That if we'll speak the words, God can use that for testimony. They all spoke. Everybody heard it in their own language. That was a wonderful thing, wasn't it? A wonderful thing. And I want to go over just a little bit farther the book of Galatians. Y'all turn over there with me just for a few minutes. Galatians chapter 5. I want to go over. There's a necessity and a needful thing if we're going to accomplish the goals for this church. There's some things we have to do. And I want to be very plain about this. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, it said, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, we're talking about flesh and spirit. We're not going to go out here in the power of the flesh. We're not going to go out here walking in ungodliness of the world and claim people for Jesus Christ. It's not going to happen. We're going to have to set a standard in church. We're going to have to set an example for a lost and dying world. A lot of people say, well, I don't want to be an example. Well, you're saved. You are. Whether it be good example or bad example, both of them, you got to understand that we've got to set the precedent. And it talks about walking in the Spirit. You know, if we come in here and walk in the Spirit all day on Sunday and have the best and highest powered meetings ever been, Spirit gets high and everybody gets on the floor shouting. If you go out on Monday and walk out of the Spirit, you've canceled it. You've heard it, that we have to walk according and let people see through our lives the need for salvation. Have y'all ever looked at a saved person and thought, well, if he's saved, I don't need that. I can do that without salvation. And this flesh and this spirit, and when it talks about walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, that takes a lot of prayer, don't it? You know, there's two of us, and it takes a lot of prayer. There's a lot of times I had to pray, God, let me get in the Spirit now. I get in the flesh, I'm liable to say a lot more than I need to, or something I shouldn't have ever said or ever thought, because that's the way the flesh is. It's contrary to the Spirit. So we need to focus, staying in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, not just on Sunday, but every day, that we walk in the Spirit of God. And it said, if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. So we find a freedom and a liberty through walking in the Spirit that lets us go out into a community and tell people about Jesus. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 6, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Anybody misunderstand that? You give it, you're going to get some of it back. I've thought about all the people that's probably talked hard about me through the years. You know, give me down the road. Go out to the community and tell them how sorry I am. Get around anywhere you can and tear down and take away. And I thought about through the years how many times I've had to face that. And you know why? Because most of it I brought on myself. Because I sowed some of that. I talked about somebody. I trash-mouthed somebody. I talked hard about this church. I talked hard about that family. And God gave it back. I might have given more than I got through the years, because God's merciful and God loves me. Now we're just, you don't have that problem, man. He can't talk yet, but just as soon as that tongue loosens, he'll have a problem. Amen, because that's natural, that's nature in us. And we have to stay in the Spirit to fight that nature. Yeah, if y'all get around, you'll find somebody that don't like him. He does this, he did that, he did this. And a lot of it I brought on myself, because it says you reap what you sow. Amen. So you don't want talked about, let up on everybody. You don't want trash talk, don't trash talk. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now that's pretty tough, isn't it? That cuts down on gossip when you explain that to people most of the time. It said, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap a life everlasting. And so we're warned in this. I mean by the word of God, warned in this, that if we sow the flesh, we're going to have the flesh reap corruption. You want hard times, hardship? Go ahead and sow the flesh. Go ahead and do it your way. Disregard what God says. Go ahead. It'll be okay. You're just going to reap corruption. You may die the early death. You may be the one that suffers of cancer. You may be the one that has the heart attacks. I don't know. All this is not caused from corruption, but most of it comes in that manner, don't it? And so the warning is that if we're going to be successful in church, we're going to try to walk in the Spirit that these things be not taking place. And it said, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I need that scripture. I really need that scripture, because sometimes I get weary in well-doing. Sometimes, you know, think, well, is it even worth it? You know, should I waste my time? And then you get this verse, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I've got a harvest coming. I'm going to reap. This church has got a promise of a harvest, and we're going to reap if we won't be weary in well-doing. Continue. Don't give up. If it said, if we faint not. When people faint, y'all ever saw somebody faint? They're out. They don't know what's going on around them. They don't know what's taking place. They don't know if somebody's talking to them. They don't know anything when you faint. And so it's telling us to faint not, that we stay vigilant. We stay understanding the Word of God. We stay focused on what God would have this church to be. We stay focused on the individual effort that we need to make the church what it's going to be. If we're successful in the vision that I have for the church, a lot of people are going to have to take a part. A lot of people are going to have to do what God asks them to do. And that's the church I want to be part of. Is that not the church you want to be part of? You want to be ho-hum, just regular, normal church, boring? Or you want to be part of an exceptional church that's in the will of God? As we therefore have this opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. A lot of preaching right there about how we treat each other. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but I'm going to tell you how we treat each other matters. It makes a difference. You want to be around somebody that every time you get around them, they treat you bad or talk bad to you? Or I don't. And if we're going to be successful as church, and we're going to build attendance, and we're going to build the work of God in this church, we're going to have to be nice to each other. So I suggest anything you got against somebody, any hard feelings, any old grudges. I don't want you to leave them in the church, because I don't want the clutter and garbage in the floor. But as you walk out the door, just throw them over in the bushes. Leave them there. Don't come back with them next Sunday. I know this is the first Sunday of the new year, but I'm telling you, there's always room for new beginnings. We come back next Sunday, let's be a different people. Let's come motivated. Let's come charged. Let's come excited. You know, that's what I think that's where we need to be as a church. I'm looking for great things to happen. Your family be saved. When it's one of your grandchildren, then you'll rejoice. When your children gets right with God, then you'll rejoice. And that's where we need to be, focused on that. Y'all stand. We're going to be dismissed.